Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, you're Sophia. Me and the brothers, Sophia is here.
And we all read comics.
And we read comics.
We sure do. My favorite guest is back.
Whoa.
What?
I'm not your favorite guest.
You're like
you're part of this.
You're not a guest.
This is my 175th
I just keep guest appearance. You're the most available guest of all time for 170.
Because you're always at my house.
Yeah. I show up and I'm like, let's host my podcast. You're the guest.
Do it. Come on. Like, I have nothing else to do. Yeah. But we got different time codes in our description. Got tons of stuff. We got the book, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Reborn. Back Matter Matters, the poll list. But we start with the news.
Sophie was very excited to tell me that she had news, and I have no idea what it is. Ooh. So I'm also very curious.
We got Sophie news.
Okay, yeah.
Sophie exclusives. I go first.
Okay, so Deadpool 3 is in the making. And
wow.
What? We gotta tell somebody.
And they actually like had footage of like their costumes and stuff, so I thought that was pretty cool. Okay. Deadpool's is really bright.
That was
it's
pretty.
So bright.
That was pretty cool news last week.
Last week.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, well, this is more like a rumor that's been going around, but I heard that Jean Grey and Scarlet Witch are gonna have like an epic battle in Deadpool 3.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
It's that'd like
be
the fight of
some
Marvel.
Jean Grey. I wonder which Jean Grey they're going to use.
Hopefully not the
newest
the
one.
The Sophie Turner one? Yeah,
no Sophies in this movie, ideally.
They would say it would be the old one. I forgot the actress's name, but yeah. So
I don't know.
Rachel. It's not confirmed, but it's a very, very strong rumor.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Good news.
But they also paused the production just because of the SAG strikes that's been going on in most productions, so that kind of sucks. But good for them.
Good for the actors.
Yeah.
Get that money.
Bad for the nerds.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of shit that I know not everyone has experienced. You know, there's movies you haven't seen, there's comics you haven't read.
Totally. There's enough out there.
Yeah. Comics are still coming out. Nathan.
Right. Nathan.
Do you have more news?
With me.
Are you passing it off to me?
Yeah, I'm passing it off to you.
I thought you were trying
now.
To get my attention.
No, no.
Sophie. There's a new comic, okay? Ooh. Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong.
I cannot wait. This is going to be so sick.
This is so dumb.
I was going to say.
But it looks so good.
It's going to be comic of the year for me. I know it.
100% it will be.
Coming in October from Brian Buccoletto and Christian Deuce.
There's no way that this could be bad, right?
No. It's a Starfire idea.
It's literally like the recipe for the greatest thing never be made.
Yeah. This is like on the back burner. Be like, this is just in case of fire, break glass, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So is it animated or is it like?
No, it's a comic.
Oh, it's a comic.
If it's good enough, though, maybe the animated.
No.
They've done TMNT.
Maybe so much property rights that would need to go through in order to make this.
Isn't it all Warner Bros?
It's all Universal.
Universal.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. That's even happening then.
Well, Kong is Universal, at least. I don't know about Godzilla.
Is it because
though.
There's a roller coaster in Universal Studios? Is that why you know that?
That's a valid Maybe. Point. That's a good way to keep track of properties. Yeah.
So as we're recording, San Diego Comic-Con's happening right now. So we got a bunch of announcements for specifically comics because there's not a whole lot of movie promotion going on right now because of the strikes.
Other than Invincible, new episodes come in November 3rd.
Woo-hoo. Second.
Third.
Are you sure?
The first week of November. How about that?
Okay, yeah.
But get excited.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of Invincible stuff. So let's just go through all that. Omni-Man's going to be in Mortal Kombat.
We knew that.
Yep.
We did know that, but we got some footage, I guess, on it. There is an Adam Eve game coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
It doesn't look great.
Yeah, it's...
It looks like a visual novel.
It's a thing.
Like, or is that what they call it? A visual novel?
I think a lot of novels are visual.
Well... No, actually, they're not. A lot of novels are not visual.
you don't look at furthest novels, Nathan? From it.
No, I think it's like a video game novel type. I don't know. I didn't really see much on it, but it seemed interesting. And
there's a new Invincible episode that dropped.
Yeah, out now.
Yeah, which out was now.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh man, this second season of Invincible is taking so long. And then they drop like a full ass 45 minute episode.
Yeah, but here's a movie.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
And speaking of trailers, Batman Gargoyles of Gotham got a whole trailer.
What is that? The comic?
Yeah, the Rafael Grampa one.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's always funny when they do comic book trailers because they try and like animate the pages.
They didn't really do that. They animated like the cover.
Oh, okay.
But I just like how they're doing that, like kind of putting an extra step, like showing how much they believe
in it. They're like, this is a good one. You got to pick this one up.
Yeah. I feel like I mostly see it from like independent stuff, but it's cool from big two, you know?
Yeah. There's some DC animated movie announcements. So there's going to be a DC animated movie of Watchmen.
Yeah.
Which I think could be pretty cool.
I'm excited.
Because they did that weird, the same thing. The motion comic.
Yeah.
And they basically what they did is they took the Watchmen comic, but then they would like use Photoshop or something to like cut out the characters and like make them slightly move their arms or whatever. But it was still like the still comic book art. And so it always looked a little bit weird. Uh-huh. So if someone's like falling out a window or whatever, like you would just see them like just barely move.
It's solely zoom.
It looked like a PowerPoint transition or something, you know? So I think a full-fledged Watchmen thing, especially if it's colored like the comic, I think could be really cool.
Yeah. It'd probably be like heavily based on the pages.
Yeah. And then they also announced Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths, which, whatever.
Okay. Nathan, other TV stuff, Gen V, the boys spinoff show, will be coming out September 29th.
Oh, that's soon.
With three episodes on the premiere day.
Mm. They always do that with the boys, don't they?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Wow, that's soon.
Yeah, it's like...
Is that next month?
2 months.
2 months?
Yeah.
I always get September and August mixed up. I never know what we're going into at the end of July. I'm like, what's it going to be?
It's almost September. Then it'll be Halloween. Yeah. Nathan, have you ever... do you like Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Do you like cruises?
Yes.
Well,
in 2025, you can have both.
A comic cruise?
Comic-Con cruise.
No way.
A comic cruise.
Comic cruise.
Yeah. It takes off out of Tampa and then goes to Cozumel. Wherever that is.
You can just dress up.
And it's a 5-day cruise. And
Cozumel?
Yeah, Cozumel, Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah. I went there.
That's cool.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
I don't know why Cozumel.
When is that?
It seems like random. Like, why don't you go out of like Long Beach where the other ones are and then go down it? Is it on the east side of Mexico?
It's on the Gulf.
Okay, so yeah, then it would have to come
out
of
Tampa. You play golf
too? Oh my God.
Nice.
So that's weird. I feel like there's not that big of a market for that kind of thing, but maybe.
So
I guess if they do it right, there'd be like, you could go on a cruise and then, Obi-Wan Kenobi will be there.
Fucking, what's his name? Jay and Silent Bob had like a Jay and Silent Bob cruise, and all they needed to make it happen was like 1,000 people.
Oh.
And so.
So this is like a one-time thing.
It might happen every year. I don't know.
Interesting. Let's go.
Dude.
Record the pod there.
Oh, my God. Like, live. Like,
come at you from the sea.
Special guest, Darth Vader or whatever.
Yeah.
We got to figure out how to do a business expense.
And then we just, like, ask people, like, on the cruise, like, do you want to come back to my room and record a podcast for, like, 30 minutes? And so then, like, it's just asking people for 30 minutes of their time.
Have you seen that?
For random interviews.
Have you seen that podcast where it's a podcast but outside?
Yeah.
We should just do that on the cruise as people walking by.
And then people walk by.
That'd be insane.
I'd be down. But it'd be so, like, windy, dude, and, like, the mics pick up that up.
Yeah, just the whole time. This is a good idea.
I thought it was fun.
Okay. Let's speed through some just comic book title announcements, okay?
Okay.
New X-Men.
Okay.
Did you see that? Whatever.
No. Giant Robot Hellboy.
I did not see that. How did I miss this?
How did you miss it?
So it's Hellboy.
He's a giant robot. Hold on, let me look it up. How does that work?
Marvel is... putting
don't just speed past this, okay?
Okay. I need to see the cover. Is there a cover?
Yeah, of course there's a cover.
God, I love what Mike Mignola is doing with Hellboy. Dude, it looks like Iron Giant Hellboy.
Yeah.
Do we know who's on that?
It does.
Mike Mignola.
Doing both?
No, and Duncan Figueredo and Dave Stewart on colors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so don't mess around.
That's crazy.
And it's a 3-issue mini, so.
Andy Samberg, the actor... Yeah. Is writing a comic book with Rick Remender.
Whoa.
Called The Holy Roller. It looks pretty good. Here's the cover.
That looks very cool.
Yeah.
Is it a bowling comic?
It's possible that it's a bowling comic. I don't really know. It's the tagline is "Roll a strike for justice."
So yes.
I didn't even see that until now. It comes out November 2023.
You didn't look at the cover and then the title.
I just saw Andy Samberg and I immediately screenshot. I was like, I need to talk to Daniel.
That is very exciting.
This could be a competitor for best comic, right up there with Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong, if it's good. But Andy Samberg,
we can have like a whole new category. It's like best comic by someone who doesn't make comics.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, because
like Paul Dano. There was also the announcement: David Desmalshin is doing a comic book with Todd McFarlane on art.
Whoa, you see that? No,
it's called Knights versus Samurais. Doesn't seem like a great title.
I'm in.
But they were hyping up this whole thing, and Todd McFarlane was like talking, and he's like trying to hype it up, and he's like, this guy's writing. And then David Desmalshin comes up. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't know any.
He was in Oppenheimer, but I don't know how to describe him.
He was the guy who wrote that letter that like made him look bad.
Here, I'll show you a picture.
Oh.
That he sent to the FBI.
He was like the pilot dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was in like Suicide Squad as Polka Dot.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, he's Polka Dot?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not recognize
him. Remember him in that? And he's in Ant-Man as a Russian dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's a big fan of comics, and he's writing one with the artist of Spawn. So, yeah.
Nice.
But anyway, this Andy Samberg comic, The Holy Roller, Andy Samberg, Rick Remender, co-writing.
Said that.
Joe Troman, I think, is doing the art. Roland Boshi is colors, and Moreno Denisio, probably his letters. So, curious to see what that's going to be.
Nathan, the Sixth Gun is returning.
Is that the Cullen
Bunn one?
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's on Kickstarter currently.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, pretty cool.
Venom is going to be Black Widow, and then there's going to be a White Widow comic. How do you like that?
Love it. Venom's going to be Black Widow
because Black Widow's dead, probably in the MCU, and so I'm sure that Marvel Comics is like, shit, we got to get a White Widow thing out because she's all the rage.
Okay,
Florence Pugh, White Widow, you know. Yeah. And so they're doing a White Widow comic, and they're like, but we don't want to get rid of, like, Natasha, and so let's just make her Venom, I guess. So
weird.
So she's going to be Black Widow.
I'll look into it. Flip through some pages.
Yeah.
Moving on. Nathan, American Psycho is getting a sequel comic, I think, from Sumerian Comics, coming October 11th.
That's weird.
Michael Calero and Pichor Kowalski on art.
There's going to be a timeless Marvel comic, and it's going to include Immortal Moon Knight.
Did we get that already?
We did get a timeless comic. I didn't read it. It was with Kang.
Okay, so some other thing.
And there's some other thing.
Okay.
And Power Man is the master of living weapons, so I think he becomes Iron Fist, which I do like that idea.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Nathan, Greg Capullo is back to Marvel.
Is he... I guess he's doing...
The first thing is a cover for Wolverine 37.
And then is he going to do more stuff?
Like more to be announced. Interior?
Okay. Whatever.
That's all we know. Okay.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
I like seeing him on Marvel stuff. And I think that's all I had other than the Eisners.
All right. Let's get into it.
Okay. Sophie, the Eisners is the Oscars, but for comics.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that happens at San Diego Comic-Con every year. They won't let us judge for whatever reason. I apply every year. To be clear, yeah, I apply every year. They must not see my emails. I don't know. But I'm just going
to
go through.
It's clearly going to the junk mail.
I'm just going to go through the winners that we care about because there's a lot of categories. Best short story, Finding Batman by Kevin Conroy, the late.
Oh, good.
Which is cool. So he won an Eisner. Good for him. Best single issue / one shot is Batman One Bad Day, The Riddler by Tom King and Mitch Gerards.
Wow.
The Goats, we met them.
Yeah.
Best continuing series, Nightwing by Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo.
Very good.
Which means that Daredevil by Chip does not win, but that's okay.
Sorry, didn't...
I'm sure it's one that...
Chip get something else?
Chip did get something else, so...
We'll get to that.
We're happy with him. Best limited series is The Human Target by Tom King, Greg Smallwood.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Shit was insane, but that means that Superman Space Age loses, which does bite a little bit. Best new series, Public Domain by Chip Zdarsky.
Yay!
Good for him.
Was that five now?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got many Eisners. We have best publication for best publication for teens. The winner is Do a Power Bomb by Daniel Warren Johnson.
Nice.
So a comic book about wrestling and family.
Aww.
But I mean, it's
Clementine.
Clementine lost. Yeah, and the devil. And then there's like one more, I think.
Ducks won.
Oh, yeah. Ducks did win.
Mm-hmm.
That book that someone... There's a book called Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
2 years. It's by Kate Beaton, but Obama put it on his end of the year list for best books.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He put like a comic book, which I was very surprised about. Yeah. I guess he's a comic guy.
We got to get him on the pod.
And then someone thought that we read it and tweeted at us saying, I really loved your interpretation of Ducks, but we've never read that book. So I don't know why that person tweeted at us, but I'll take it.
Maybe it's an imposter.
So now I'm glad that it won. Yeah, it could be.
And then I think Greg Smallwood got best penciler.
Good for him.
Who got... Someone got best writer artist.
Okay, best writer, James Tynion.
Right.
Best writer artist, Kate Beaton for Ducks.
That's right. Okay.
Best penciler is Greg Smallwood.
Right.
Which, great.
I think she got best memoir.
Best cover too. Artist, Bruno Redondo on Nightwing. Best coloring, Jordy Belair.
He did have some banger covers.
He is good at that. Dana, who won best lettering?
The one, the only, Stan Sakai.
For Usagi Yojimbo.
Yes.
It's like 10 years in a row, probably.
It's a dynasty.
He still hand letters. So every comic, he'll like write in the letters. Normally, you have like a program or something that does that for you. So I think that's why he wins every year, because he's pretty good at it.
Yeah, the man.
And I think that's all we care about. Unless you want to learn about the best academic scholarly work.
Nah.
But that's pretty much everything, I think.
Very excited. We got to... I guess we got to do Ducks a bit.
at some point.
So long, though.
I know, it's like 300
pages. Believe Obama has the time to read that shit.
Yeah. We'll have to do like Human Target and just like the ones, some of the winners, you know?
Dude, Human Target's so good.
Powerbomb, you know? So, good anyway, stuff.
Should we get into the book that we read?
No.
We got more news.
No, we don't.
Okay, never mind. We're getting into the book that we read, which was TMNT:Reborn.
Colon.
From the Ashes. Volume 1. Okay. Short and simple.
Yeah.
But
straight to the point.
It is by Sophie Campbell, and who does the script and the art, and then the colors by Rhonda
Patterson.
I thought that was an E. And then letters by Sean Lee. What do we think overall? Sophie? By the way, Sophie is the leading number one TMNT fan.
Yes, sir.
She's repping the TMNT shirt.
I got
TMNT earrings.
Earrings.
She's our consultant on all things TMNT.
And bracelet.
Oh, very nice.
And show the shoes.
Oh, can I?
Get up there. Her shoes are just red, green, yellow, and blue.
Whoa. Those are the Yacht Club shoes.
They're TMNT shoes, Daniel. Sophie, what'd you think?
Overall, it was pretty good. I was very upset that Splinter died. Literally, the first part.
Yeah.
Splinter's like the OG.
I think in the comics before, that was like the big thing that happened before they like...
I don't even know how he died. I think they should have explained that.
But it doesn't matter. Because it's about the turtles.
It should. He's like the main part.
Well, this is issue like 101. So if you read issue 100, then I'm sure... You know, go into that.
It is just an unfortunate pitfall of comics.
It should say on the back
of the back cover, it'll say like what issues it is, like for the single issues somewhere. So it's like 101 through 106.
Yeah, so this is the start of Sophie Campbell's run.
Yeah,
she's still currently writing it.
Oh, really?
TMNT, it's on
like 170 or something, right?
It's like 142 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And good for her.
She's not doing art the entire time. I think this is the first. I think
that would kill her.
That'd be crazy. But she's pretty cool.
She was really good.
She's so good.
I think she does
in writing
a phenomenal job at portraying a part of the turtles that you don't normally see.
Yeah.
Which is just, at least for this trade, because they're grieving, it's like a little bit more emotional than I think we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
Especially with Kevin Eastman. He's like so gritty, and he like likes to draw that turtles all angry and stuff, which is cool. And I love Kevin Eastman. But yeah, this is like a different perspective, and she's still like pushing it forward, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So she did like the outline and everything, right?
She
like
did the writing.
She did the writing.
The pencils, the inks, and the colors.
She did not do the colors. Rhonda Patterson.
Holy shit! Never mind.
Yeah, Rhonda Patterson.
So. But yeah, incredible art. It has like very like YA vibes.
Yeah.
But I think it's because like how clean the art is, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different elements in this that I think just work like really well, you know?
I like how vibrant the colors are too.
Yeah, it looks great.
But they're also dull at the same time because it's a very depressing moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
let's get into it. Splinter's dead. That's crazy.
Good news. Good news, Aiden. We got a map.
We do have a map. I do love a good map in comics.
Yeah.
You can see where the TMNT layer is, where the Foot Clan's hanging out. But basically, the Turtles are split up, and there was a mutagenic agent that has been turning people into animal mutants. So some people are turning into, like, fucking porcupines and platypuses.
And pandas.
And pandas and shit. Yeah, so everybody's basically becoming anthropomorphic animals, which is interesting. And so to contain this, they put everybody in a big city with a big wall around it. And all the Turtles and April are all sad. And then Raphael's girlfriend, Alapex, runs a shelter. And Raphael
just
will...
Just friend right now, I think.
Just friend? Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
So Alapex, who's like a wolf, probably runs like a shelter.
It's
to,
like a to fox, hold. Dude.
Okay, sure. I don't know. And
then there's no animals.
Raphael will show up at the shelter, and Jenica's also showing up at the shelter occasionally.
You know, it might be a wolf. I'll give you that.
But they're not on speaking terms, Daniel. So I like Raphael's design in the beginning because he's not wearing his typical red.
He just looks like the Last Ronin.
He does, but like I think it's important because he's not identifying himself as like part of a team anymore.
Sure.
So he's not having like the red on there anymore, which I think is it's like a very subtle like detail. Be like, I'm not a Ninja Turtle anymore. I'm just being a ninja.
I like how he like chooses the black too, because it's kind of like he's still mourning.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the Last Ronin, like you said.
Yeah, good point.
So
I love when he has the do-rag mask.
The do-rag is
so funny. So hard.
So Jenny goes out.
I don't think
out.
Anyone would like fight us if we say like Raphael's black. You know?
Yeah, so it is funny to try and assign a race to each of them, though. But, so Jenny goes out and saves a mutant named Mona Lisa from getting jumped for stealing food that will eventually go to the shelter. And later, they're both jumped again by the same two guys, and they bring their boss, who's a porcupine mutant. And that's pretty much everything that happens this issue. But I really love this design of the platypus dude.
Oh yeah,
he seems so cool.
He's a tough platypus.
Yeah. I never thought that a platypus would look cool, but I like how his bill is like done, and he's just got like a tattoo on like his shoulder. I think it's so funny.
I don't know. This might be Perry the Platypus. I don't know.
It could be. I don't know.
In disguise,
he'd have to put on a hat for me.
Yeah,
for sure.
Hey, the platypus.
So what I like is that Jenica mentions that she is a punk and heavy metal fan.
Hell yeah!
So I've put in the effort to come up with some band names that Jenica listens to, but with turtle TMNT puns. Okay. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
Instead of Five Finger Death Punch, it'd be Three Finger Death Punch, cause they have three fingers.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's my best one. So strap in.
Oh no.
Instead of August Burns Red, it's August Burns Green.
Okay.
And the 2000s metal band, The Ocean, would probably just be The Ocean still, because the turtles go in the ocean.
Okay. Okay.
That's all I have. It's really hard to try and make turtle puns work for any band, by the way. That was the best I could get. And I spent 15 minutes on this.
The Arctic Turtles, you know?
Arctic Turtles, that's a good one. I'm like, Evanescence, how do we do this?
Yeah, I was like, I don't think I could do Evanescence.
Fallout Boy, Fallout Turtle, I don't know.
Green Hot Ninja Turtles?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Green Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of like a porcupine villain.
You could do like ACDC, which is TM, then /NT.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like that.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm working really hard here.
I looked up a list of just like metal bands and punk bands, and I'm like, there's got to be something here.
I'm trying to think of something with like Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Turtle Park.
Turtle
nice.
Park.
You nailed it. I mean, at that point, you could just be like, just switch one word with turtle.
Yeah, Turtle Park.
I love Turtle Park, dude.
Oh, for like AC/DC, the album title could be like Highway to Shell.
Ooh.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, this is going to bother me.
keep coming with ideas.
You can think about it. I'm glad I started this.
Never mind. We keep going.
It also makes no sense that these would be bands.
It's unfair that you just do this on me. You could have texted me.
I was not going to force you to come up with a band name. I was just going to come up with the best ones.
I could have a whole podcast of just these names.
Just turtle puns.
Yeah. All right.
I like the porcupine villain. I think he's a really creative like villain to just like...
Yeah, when he was shooting those things, I'm like, oh,
he's shooting needles at him. Like, I'm like, this is actually so
cool. They're
going to die. I know,
they're going to die.
But overall, like a really strong first issue because there's kind of like a lot to cover with like where they're at, mm-hmm. what's going on, what the environment is, who all these characters are. But I think Sophie does a great job like catching us up to speed while also having the balls to introduce new characters like Mona Lisa and stuff.
Mm.
So I think that was... And add development, like all the punk bands that Jenica listens to. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I think she did a good job. So issue two.
Real quick. I didn't expect like Hob to still be around.
Yeah, he was in that other
first
one that we read.
Trade of this run that we read.
Which started at issue one.
100 issues ago.
Holy shit.
Or before this.
That's right.
And so that was pretty shocking.
Was he a mutant?
He's
before?
Like the cat one.
Yeah, he was a cat. He was
a
cat.
He was a cat in the first one too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He was the cat that like... picked up Raphael and like made them like separated mm-hmm. in like the first one, and so he grew up not knowing he had brothers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Raphael has like this little Pokemon thing.
He's got a little dog.
His name
thing.
Is Pepperoni.
Pepperoni's a great little dog mutant name.
Yeah, he's like a dinosaur or something.
Yeah,
I guess. Like, they call him a dinosaur. It's funny to like, it's hard to take Raphael like seriously in this when he's like mourning and like being like, you know,
angry.
Like an ass. Yeah. And like, because like he's drawn like so adorable, you know,
Raphael.
Yeah. It's just like, they're all drawn like
they are
very
pretty,
cute. You know?
They are very adorable. Are just like cute. The face shape that they've, that the turtles have like eventually morphed into.
Yeah.
Is very cute. Cause like when the first like Kevin Eastman one. They're like really weird looking compared to what they are now.
Yeah.
Because they're like kind of skinnier heads. There's more like,
yeah, his
there's
style.
Like a nose and mm-hmm. like long mouth. So it's very interesting to see how they've transformed. So yeah, issue two, Raphael's talking to Pepperoni. I like the lettering for Pepperoni as well. It's like some weird alien Morse code language.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty cool.
I love how he has a little jacket as well.
Yeah, he gets cold. Yeah. he talks to Sally, who's the mutanimal that is commanding officer of like the enforcers of the town.
She's like a lion.
Is that? Oh, yeah.
What did you think it was?
I don't know, dude. I don't know what these people are. I just know they're animals, Daniel.
That is a fair.
I just know that she has cool hair. That's all I know about Sally. So since she's like the... commanding officer, she calls off the porcupine dude and fires him.
Yeah.
And Jenica is all fucked in the face.
Dude,
with
I was gonna say
needles.
That like gave me goosebumps when I like saw like all the needles in her face and stuff.
Yeah, it is crazy that he can like punch someone and there's like so many lasting effects of that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
so he's a pretty cool villain. Meanwhile, Donatello, Leonardo, and Michelangelo are grieving for Splinter at a farmhouse, but they can't really figure out how to talk about it at all. So Donatello goes his separate ways with them and writes like a note to Michelangelo. But I just really love the silent parts like of this, because you can tell that they like want to talk about it, but they don't really know how to, you know? And then you see like this page of Michelangelo looking out the window, and then you could see like the steps like go in different directions
separating.
To branch out.
Yeah.
And it hurts.
Yeah.
To like see them like that. It is a little bit tough to know who's who though, because they're not really wearing their.
That's what my, yeah.
They're like different colored greens and barely. Like their barely. Eyes
Michelangelo's
are different colors.
Pretty different.
Yeah. His is like a.
His like, is like a darker green than the rest.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like Donatello and Leonardo, they seem pretty similar.
Well, Leonardo
as far as their
has
shades.
A scar on one of his eyes.
You know, as I was reading this, I was like, man, I wish one of the turtles had a scar. and then I figured out like the last issue. I was like, holy shit, he does have a scar.
Yeah.
So is it weird that these turtles have pets?
No.
No. I think they're trying to like humanize. At least Sophie is.
No, they're not.
They are animal. They know they're turtle.
They were.
They're still turtles. What do you mean they were?
Yeah, that's true.
They're not. So it's just interesting that a turtle has a cat, you know, or a turtle has an alien dog named Pepperoni. I'm like, what's the hierarchy here? Where does it end?
There's quite a gap between the last time we read this book. So
yeah. So Hob, who's the dude in charge of all the enforcer people, is selling some soldiers to the Foot Clan. And the porcupine dude tries to sabotage it, and he sets them free. So he ends up releasing some rabid weasels running around, and they're like looking for food.
Dude, they're ferrets. I feel ferrets.
Like it's like human trafficking.
They say that they're... I said ferrets too at first.
The weasels?
I even wrote down the question, would you ever have a pet ferret?
No.
No.
Okay. I told Sophie I could have weasels? A pet ferret. They call them weasels at right. some point, so... But I like
they were ferrets too.
I like them being ferrets better, to be honest, because I think it's fun.
But they're children, and yeah. Hobbs is like children trafficking them.
Yeah, so they're like just running around trying to find food, but they are just scared children. So Hob is selling children to the Foot Clan.
Yep, basically. Whack. For food and resources and stuff.
So yeah, to the town.
Hog them.
By the way, between each issue, there's covers by Kevin Eastman, and I love this shit.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Like
I love seeing it.
That last the one for this issue, it's like Raphael looking at like a leaf flowing in the wind. And I feel like that's the most like sensitive cover. No, the last one.
Oh, the last one. Yeah.
That he's like ever drawn, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, is it Leo?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like.
So sketchy. I love it.
Oh yeah. It's very scratchy looking.
Yeah.
Like very scratchy looking.
The grittiness of his art. Well, I'll never stop getting enough of it. So issue 3, Donatello goes to see April because he's trying to get away from like the farmhouse, and he mentions that he wants to go into the city. Meanwhile, Jenica and Raphael get into a fight because Raph wants to do his own thing and Jenny wants to work together to like help the town, because that makes sense. And Raphael is like, man, Splinter never loved you type shit.
So. Dude, I was so mad at him when he said that. I don't care how angry you are. You don't go as low as that.
He is very hot-headed. And when he said that, I was like, damn, that's fucked up. He's like, Splinter really loved you because you needed help or whatever. And I was like, shit.
He's like, you're not Splinter's daughter. He just felt bad for you. Like, for a gutter punk like you. I'm oh, man.
Yikes. That's like a slur to turtles.
A gutter
You're
punk.
Gutter punk. With a hard R in gutter. But poor Jenny. I wasn't expecting to get like this kind of untouched grief, you know, because it's very clear that he's sad and he doesn't know how to process that he's sad. So he just gets angry.
Yeah.
So I think that's done well.
I didn't realize that these turtles like weren't in the wall. Or whatever, like the farmhouse is, I guess, outside of the wall.
Yeah.
And they have to like sneak in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a big wall. And Donatello does end up getting in, but they don't really say how. He just gets in somehow.
Yeah.
Because Jenica just leaves.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I guess, and comes back. But yeah. So the weasels that were set loose ravage a bunch of the food at the shelter and they run off. So Jenny, her new friend Mona Lisa, and Sally go to follow them. And then at the house, Michelangelo loses his cat, Clunk, and he needs to go get help from Leonardo to look for him.
Yep.
And the fact that he loses a pet on top of everything else is crushing to me.
Yeah.
Because he, like, walks out, and he's like, Clunk, like, kitty, and then he's just, like, looking sad, and he's, like, walking around. He's looking under rocks and shit, and it really hits pretty hard.
You could see,
hard.
Like, him crying, too, and, like, Leo trying to, like... like make him feel better, but he's also crying too, and they're both crying, and it's just so sad.
Yeah, she's really good at building up to like those emotional moments.
Yeah.
And like this hug between them feels like a breakthrough, kind of.
Yeah.
So I think that's very clever.
What was the lion's name again?
Sally.
There's this cool, like, Sophie draws like really good like action. Mm-hmm. You know, like even on top of drawing like really cute turtles and whatnot.
Yeah.
And like there's this, the last page is Sally like punching Hob, and it's just like a really cool like action panel, you know?
Yeah. So Sally sees Hob capture the weasel children to sell them to the Foot, and so she punches him in the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a really great panel. I just love that's like a typical like angle, I feel like, for punching someone is like you see the person getting punched in like the foreground and they're like getting punched backwards.
Yeah.
So that's done pretty well. Clunk, I think, is a really funny name for a cat. So I like that.
I don't know how they got there.
I don't know either, but I think it's fun. So issue 4, Sally quits working for Hob and grabs the weasels. And then she's like, this is our turf now. So get away, Hob. And Hob's like, aw, fuck you guys. I'm out of here. And then they take everyone back to the shelter and they're surprised to see Donatello there. now helping to rebuild the place. And then Raphael's like just sitting outside, so Donatella sits next to him, and then they talk about going back to the house together.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenica's there too. But there's this scene where Donatello and Raphael hug when like seeing each other again. And there's this like one panel where you like she like nails the facial expressions because Raphael is like a little bit guilty about, you know, not keeping in touch or whatever. And then Donatello is like very understanding and optimistic about everything. So she like nails that.
A good bro hug.
Yeah, a good bro hug hits so hard.
And like the panel just before that where like Raph like puts his head on like Donatello's shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just like Raph like being vulnerable is so, it just hits so hard for me.
And it's like,
cause it just like never happens.
Cause they do like a one arm hug, which is like very non-committal, but it's also like a big thing for Raphael. I feel like
definitely
to just do any sort of like hug.
Mm-hmm.
It's so like a milestone.
It's a good choice. So they all make it back to the farmhouse and then Clunk just like shows up. He's like, I've been under the house or something. I don't know.
Yeah. They're like, we looked everywhere.
And so they're all just a big group again, a big happy family. And so Jenny sells them on the idea of opening a dojo in Splinter's honor inside of the town where they will teach like the other mutanimals in there, like Kung Fu and stuff, how to take care of themselves. And they're going to call them the Splinter Clan,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. So they start building one in like some abandoned building that they're at.
And they...
And thank God they all have their fucking masks back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they'll like wear them as like little like scarves. So you know who the fuck is talking.
Yeah, I'm like, thank God. Like,
thank the Lord.
You don't need the mask on all the time. Just have it somewhere on you. It could be around your arm. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because Jenica had it around hers.
Yeah.
Like around her neck. And I almost like that.
Her eyes are like drawn like more feminine. So she's the only one I could really pick out.
Which is fair. Yeah. But I like seeing that in action too. Because you could see like the scarf thing like around their neck as they're like flying and punching someone or whatever.
Right.
So.
And then they like meet this like little albino turtle.
Yeah, Lita. Aww,
named Lita.
Yeah.
She didn't even have a name.
So she was a kid that was turned into a turtle?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I think so, yeah.
So when she was a kid, she didn't have a name?
I don't think she remembered.
Or she don't remember her name?
I don't think she remembered
her name. Ooh. Yeah. Okay, interesting. So yeah, after a long day, Jenny decides that they should go to a mutant concert, which is a thing that the original turtles have never been able to do since they've been the only like mutants around. And so they all get ready and they go out.
Yeah. I love that scene, like on that last one where it just shows everyone just all dressed up and
everyone ready,
ready
for a concert.
Dude, it looks so dope.
I like that. I like that like, Jenny has like the eyeliner and like the wings.
Yeah.
They look hardcore.
They look so hard.
Like the ripped fucking fishnets and stuff. Like she's ready. She's like, I'm gonna show these people what it's about.
Yeah.
And it's funny seeing how everybody else decided to dress up for the occasion. Just like wearing hats and sweaters and stuff.
Yeah, why is who's that? Donatello wearing sunglasses?
Yeah.
That's
or
Leo.
No, it's Leo.
It's clearly nighttime.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so true.
But yeah, I never expected this book to turn to them going to see a concert, but I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very fun.
It's super fun. So
in a metal show of all things.
A metal show, which is so good.
Yeah.
Because the issue 5, it opens up with them like in the concert. And some of them like it. Some of them don't. Raphael and Alapex like just stand outside because they don't like it. But like these few pages, these few concert pages, like really embody every type of personality at like a concert, I feel like.
Oh, definitely.
Because Jenny's like all into it. You know, Raphael's like, shit's too loud. There's some people just like standing there kind of like just vibing a little bit like towards the back.
Like Leo.
So they really hit like all of the metal show personalities.
Love the color choice within the panels too.
Yeah, it was cool.
That is nice. The band's called After the Bomb. You know, after the, I guess like the bomb that went off that turned people into mutants.
I didn't even notice that.
See that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that has like a whole metal font and everything.
Yeah, the metal font's so good. After the Bomb.
There's a band called After the Burial. They're pretty good.
ATB.
Did they bring pepperoni with them?
No, they gotta leave the kids at home. This cover has pepperoni in it.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, because the cover has pepperoni in it.
Pepperoni's so confused.
Yeah, no, but the weasels and Lita and pepperoni, they're all at home.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they're too young.
So they see the platypus and the raccoon like goons from the first issue.
Oh, there's a zebra bartender, dude. That's crazy.
Wait, is there? They're selling drinks at this concert, too?
Yeah, dude.
Hell yeah. This is a great concert. Good show.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is. Look at them. That's cool. So yeah, they see the platypus and the raccoon guys from before, but since they're at a concert, they all agree to like not ruin the show, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then you skipped the part where Aloe and Raphael kiss.
Yeah, so they kiss outside the concert, which is why I'm like, have they always been boyfriend, girlfriend? Because Raphael like apologizes for like abandoning her. Maybe it was just a complicated type
maybe
thing.
It was just like he left and didn't help like the shelter that she's running.
Which is very shitty.
Pretty shitty.
Well, he just like ate the food and left. That's it.
He's fucked. He died and dashed, dude.
Yeah, he died and dashed the shelter.
Yeah.
And doesn't even help.
The shelter that's already like low on food. And then he fucks off and just
probably beats up some other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the turtles initiate Alapex to the group and they give her a green mask.
Nice.
Because so that cute. Color was available.
Yeah. Kind of defeats the purpose for the turtles to have one.
Like, yeah,
true.
Like, you just look like a turtle.
Where's your mask? And
can you imagine like they had a green one and they're like, who are you? And you take off this green mask. Oh my god, a turtle. It's like their Perry the Platypus hat, you know.
That would be good. It'd be funny if like they just drew it like just a line across their face.
It's like they look like a mask. Like Clark Kent like glasses, you know.
It's like when someone takes off sunglasses and there's more sunglasses. Yeah. So they initiate Alapex, and then they open the dojo for training to the public, and they like get the power running and all that. They all work together, and there's a montage of like sleeping and like training and stuff.
Donatello and Mona are pretty close too.
Donatello's like, you good with electricity or whatever?
Yeah, I'm
trying to do some science riz. And
you're pretty good with that electrical current.
And she's like,
your physics
like,
major is benefiting you.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I did notice that too. She's like, no, I just do physics. I don't know, this is basic electrical work.
I like how he's wearing overalls when he's like doing like this handyman work.
Yeah, in his own place.
Got to dress for the part, yeah.
It's like going to fix a light bulb at your house and you put on like the overalls.
Yeah.
There's a scene where like Jenica plays the guitar and she has just two massive fingers.
Yeah.
There's no shot you're hitting a G chord.
It's just all bar chords, you know? Yeah,
it's all bar chords.
I mean, technically, you can play, like, any chord with just, like, two fingers, but it's just, like...
She has giant stumps, Daniel.
Dude.
There's no way she's hitting, like, the, like, 20th fret.
No, if you, like, bar it and then, like, do, like, another finger on, like, the second and third one, so her second finger can, like, hold both of those, and then you just move it up, like, you can hit, like, any chord. Technically.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's probably... Or she's just fucking doing breakdowns the whole time.
Or she's just really bad. And so Raphael's like, what the fuck are you doing? It's it's like the morning.
There is, like, musical notes, but then there's just, like, slash through them as if she's not playing very good.
Yeah. So she's either really bad or she's, like, doing a really thrashy, like, type of guitar. I just think that's fun. So some of the kids make fun of Lita, and who's, like, the small turtle child that... The white one?
Lita.
What's the name when you're all white? Albino?
Albino.
Yeah. And so they're making fun of her for being too small and like that she'll never be like a ninja. So Jenica gives her like a little pep talk about how she used to be bullied in school, but she was like a human, so it's like a little bit different. But now she's a cool ninja and like, you know, to teach like patience and stuff. And then, meanwhile, somewhere else, a mutant walks through a portal that looks like it's from the future, probably.
I think it's Lita.
It's probably Lita. Whoa, I think that's
spoilers.
What
spoilers.
But
And she just gets, like, these face tattoos, I guess, or something.
Which look great.
Yeah.
And this
is definitely a white albino turtle like, that's grown up.
Yeah, there's probably not a whole lot of those.
I love her tattoos. It looks like a lotus flower.
Pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yin and yang.
What a sci-fi-ass cliffhanger for a pretty tame TMNT comic.
It's pretty sci-fi because there's like animal people.
Well, that like are mutated. That's like the only sci-fi part. The rest of it's like let's go to a concert, you know?
Yeah,
let's rebuild a.
It was like more like humangenic. So like it was trying to like make the turtles more like human.
Yeah,
with more human characteristics. Since there was something they couldn't do before because they were living in the shadows, so it was definitely like a new perspective.
Which I think was the right choice for sure because I thought I enjoyed this a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
So
did anyone think that the dojo was like a YMCA for? Animals
basically. I don't think they're charging, so
yeah,
they aren't charging. No, it was a free YMCA because they were planting, they were doing some.
I like this hippo that's this training.
Which one?
Oh, nice.
Oh, this. Yeah, I see him.
Looks like a dog.
Oh, there's a lot
there's
of
there's a shark there, too.
Yeah, sharks always look cool and they're anthropomorphic.
Dude, there's like an ant, like a large ant that's just below
a big rooster.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a cockroach.
I like the
goose. That'd be more disturbing.
The goose is pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a bat.
Yeah. I wonder if she had any experience like drawing animals before.
I really don't know.
I'm not familiar with her work, really, but
this is the first thing I've seen.
I actually just noticed looking at those people that the instructors for the dojo have like this weird shuriken looking logo.
Oh, that's the future person has.
And then the future person has a shuriken looking logo.
Oh,
so it's probably Jenica.
It is Jenica.
You mean Lita?
Lita, I mean, sorry.
Lita, yeah. You're right.
I like the staff too. It's got like an hourglass and a clock. Seems a little redundant.
In case you aren't sure what it is.
In case you can't read an analog clock, you know of like an hour is about to strike. Anyway, let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
So if you do know what Back Matter is.
Yeah, it's the drawings that some of the artists do. Mm-hmm. Other artists, not the ones that drew the comic specifically.
It's just the stuff in the back that they put. This one's only covers, but sometimes they'll do like some like behind the scenes type work where they'll like show pencils, colors, or talk about how they design certain characters or whatever. This one's just covers.
Yeah.
There's obviously the Kevin Eastman ones, but
do you recognize that first Kevin Eastman variant?
No.
It's an homage to something.
I don't know what.
Okay, let me show you. It is an homage to AC/DC's Highway to Hell.
Oh, Highway to Shell?
Highway to Shell?
Oh my God, you're right.
No way. Yeah, oh, you're right.
Oh, because this is like the concert one.
This is the concert.
Wait, show me it again. So oh, because someone has the horns.
Yeah, Leo has
the
horns.
No one has a do-rag, but that's okay.
Yeah, no one has a hat in the back either, so I'm not sure what that's about, but...
But, does he think Raphael's wearing a top hat to a concert show? I'm very confused by that artistic choice. But just a bunch of covers. We got some from like Dustin Weaver. Like a lot of people I've never really heard of. Ramon Villalobos is a really interesting one. But what I like about these is that it shows like the versatility of the design of the turtles.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
there's the Kevin Eastman type style, which is like the gritty stuff that we like.
The turtles is like one of those things where it's like you have your own way that you draw them,
and like everybody's cool with it. You know?
I don't know if anyone's really like wrong. I'm like okay,
but like
there's a Dexter Soy variant.
He's great,
so good.
And then you also get like this Ken Garing one where it's like pretty simple, but I would also read a comic book with like this art on
it. So good.
It'd be pretty cool.
Have you seen the Dan Connors one that looks like it's like a little child book one?
That's an homage to X-Men number one's cover.
Oh really?
Yeah, so like the purple one, Donatello, Leonardo. Donatello's purple.
Yeah, Donatello's purple.
So like that was Beast in like the original cover. And like the villain in the bottom right was Magneto in the original cover. So
dope.
It's a homage. But yeah, just a bunch of covers.
I like the one where they're eating ramen because they usually eat pizza and now they're like at a
teens like to eat ramen now. So
that's the new thing.
I just kind of like seeing restaurants and comics, you know, just like seeing like how they draw it for some reason. Like this bar looks sweet.
Are they eating ramen with chopsticks?
Yeah.
That's got to be so tough. I guess they only use three fingers, huh?
Yeah, so they just use all their fingers.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. So, Dana, what would you rate this book? Sophie, the way that we do ratings is that we compare them to food sizes that are fun.
She's been here before.
I just want to remind her.
Don't mansplain to her.
Yeah, I don't need no mansplaining.
So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
Okay, Nathan. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem had... limited edition frozen pizzas that you can get at the store.
Okay, nice.
And there's like five different flavors, you know, or five different like toppings. And there's one called Mac Attack. It's got mac and cheese on it.
Whoa.
And so I'd give this...
A Mac Attack
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Mutant Mayhem.
Wow.
Limited edition frozen pizza.
Wow, a review of the highest.
Yes, the highest.
A Mac Attack, a first ever for the
podcast. Yeah, yeah. It gets its own category. Yeah. Exclusively for TMNT books.
Would you rate this, Sophie?
Oh, man.
Would you rate it a pizza?
I was like thinking about this. I will probably give it like a pizza, but from NYPD because it's like my favorite pizza place.
Nice.
Oh, very good.
But so I was thinking of like something depressing to go along with it, but there's really nothing
depressing.
There's
also tomato on it.
Well, there. Yeah.
Like she doesn't like tomato.
Ah.
Yeah, maybe like a margarita pizza.
So good, though.
For you. Yep. I don't like tomatoes. Yeah. I like the pizza sauce and marinara, but no.
You like dead tomatoes.
I like pineapple.
Yeah.
No, you don't like pineapple.
Not a fan. On pizza.
But, yeah. On pizza.
It's good
pepperoni
rating.
Pizza.
NYPD pizza.
NYPD, the 18
And they're in New York, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. NYPD pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Do they have those in New York, you think?
I doubt it.
Because it'd be really confusing.
It seems redundant.
Yeah. Like, you try and call the NYPD, and then, like, cops show up at your house.
Yeah, I know. I wonder, like, what some of the chains are over there. Maybe they have, like, AZPD or
AZPD?
Something.
Woo! I would give this one of those TMNT popsicles where the eyes get all fucked up.
Hell yeah.
But like the eyes are fucked up because I like it that way, you know?
Yeah,
it's like a little bit different, maybe a little bit sad for
the
turtles. If
it's perfect, I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like, what's wrong with this?
Yeah. It's a mystery to see what bite you get the eyeball in.
Yeah. So it'd be one of those, but like a Raphael one.
Nice, nice.
Nice.
Good turtle.
Are those different flavors? Like is Raphael like cherry or something?
No, I think they just, I don't even,
they're the same
I think
flavor.
They're all just Michelangelo actually.
No, I looked it up. Like,
are there different colors?
Yeah, different colors.
And then really? They have like different versions for when different cartoons come out.
Oh.
Like, you know that one, it's like Rise of the Turtles or whatever? It's
no.
like that newer one that has like
the
really
new show?
The show, yeah.
Oh, okay,
that's on
gotcha.
Like Netflix. Yeah, they had like new popsicles for that.
Wow.
Where Raphael has a durag. It's really cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, a durag popsicle?
Durag popsicle.
That's awesome. So yeah, pretty good. I was pretty like pleasantly surprised by this.
Yeah.
I wasn't really sure, you know, we weren't even sure what we were going to read because it's kind of hard to like pick a jumping on point for turtles.
There's a ton of new comics that are coming out right now that I would love to read like in the future as trades.
Yeah.
But it's just like they're not done, you know.
Yeah.
Like they're releasing probably because of the movie, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're on the pull list.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Shove it in your box.
Close enough.
Sophie, what comics are you getting this week?
Oh, well, you know what? I've been wanting to read, not that it's a new comic or anything, but I've wanted to read the, what is it called?
Nice.
The John Constantine.
Oh, the Tom Taylor one?
Hellblazer.
There you go.
There you go. But
I should order
there's
that.
There's like a...
the one that we read?
No,
probably
no.
not. Yeah,
the DC Black Label one, Tom Taylor and Ooh. Scott Derrickson.
Cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But we haven't been able to find it, so
I haven't looked very hard. But
well, when we go,
could probably order it.
When we go on Wednesdays.
Is it, wait, no, Scott Derrickson's the director. You mean Derek Robertson?
Derek Robertson. Sorry.
Yeah, Derek
whatever. The director's drawing it.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, the director of Doctor Strange.
What a downgrade.
It's like I can't find any work right now.
Yeah. Did you look at what's coming out this week?
No. Please tell me.
We got Ultimate Invasion number 2.
Okay.
It's not $8, it's $6.
Ooh,
which is better.
Okay. Yeah.
So probably
in the
not
right direction.
Probably not as big as a book, but cheaper. So
it'd be funny if there's a book that constantly goes down in price and the last one's just free.
Yeah, dude. And that'll keep people buying it.
Yeah.
And Firepower comes back with number 25.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What a book.
Yeah.
Anything and for me? Because I don't know what's going on.
I didn't look for you.
Okay.
So, we'll see, I guess.
Last week, I picked up Superman Night Terrors, Miss Truesdale, World's Finest. Those are the three.
Oh, okay.
I did end up reading Superman Night Terrors. It's got Tom Riley on art, and he's so good.
He is very good.
He is someone that I'll always pick up his stuff from now on, I think.
Wow.
There's a page on there.
Can I buy that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's great. There's a page on there, and I was like, damn, I wonder how much it would be to buy this.
And I'm sure like a spinoff of an event might not be the most high demand pages he's got,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally. So, and did you read, have you been reading Miss Truesdale and the something of Hyperborea, whatever that
the
is?
The Fall of Hyperborea.
Yeah.
No.
This is the best issue. Because
number three?
There's not as much story, and it's just Jesse Lonergan, pretty much. So, it's awesome.
What he does best.
Yeah. Those are the only things I read this week. Did you read anything?
No.
Did you read anything, Sophie? Did you read more Lore Olympus or something?
More Lore Olympus.
Oh, that won an Eisner for best webcomic.
Oh, this year?
Really? Yeah.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Wow, good you're reading job. Eisner comics. Look at you. I think it did last year too.
Probably.
Is it good?
It's so good. I love it. It's like so the artwork, I don't even know who it is.
What
I
kind of book is that? Is it like a romance book?
It is a romance book.
Oh, we can do it for Valentine's Day.
Ooh. Oh, I'm down.
I guess you go. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, just invite yourself.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, so Rachel Smith is the author of the book, and I think the artist as well. But it's very like different because it's all watercolor based.
Speaking of the mic.
Oh, am I not speaking into?
Yeah, you were just to the side of it. Which
sorry.
Is,
do you want me to move it? Is that better?
How's yeah, that works. But yeah, so you could see like all of the pages are like watercolored based.
I don't want to read it like that. And you know, like on the web comics.
Would want to?
Yeah, not like the print.
Yeah, no.
That sounds way
yeah.
better.
Yeah, it's so much easier too because you just scroll on and then you don't even know what's going to go on. And
you
happen,
scroll
and
so violently when you read comics. You ever notice that? You do the thing where you like flick your thumb up and then you stop it. And I'm just like nice. What if you go past and there's a spoiler? Like someone dies.
Well, because
not like a scroll that stops perfectly.
You don't flick and stop. I know, but what if you scroll too fast one time and it's like, oh my god, the fire one died.
I already know what's going on.
No, it's you
just,
don't.
I do. I just need to go to the next part. You know, like I can't just not wait for it.
You so
know?
You caught up on this?
I am very caught up on it.
Okay.
I'm also reading this one called Suitor Armor. And it's really cute, and it's about this fairy, but all fairies are banned from this country, and they killed all the fairies, except for one, and she's supposed to be, like, the monarch, the royalty fairy that has most of the powers, but she's been living in the kingdom that banned all the fairies, in secret, because the king who died was the only one who knew that she was a fairy, and she's starting to experience all these, like, powers, and this guy who is also a mage, made this guy of like an armor, kind of like Alphonse from
Full Metal.
There's no one inside, but it still talks and speaks. And like it's starting to develop emotions, which it isn't supposed to because it's just an armor, a piece of armor. It's not supposed to develop anything.
Interesting.
But yeah, so he develops feelings for the fairy. Wow. And then like, yeah, it's like a little adventure together.
She's so much better at explaining things than you are.
She sure is.
It's very nice.
It sounds pretty good.
I feel like I spoil things though when I explain.
I mean, that's
so
fine.
I'm like, oh, shoot.
But when Dana explains things, he would have been like, so there's like a fairy. And they're like, there used to be more, but now there's not. And there's a suit of armor and he likes the fairy.
They're all in the kingdom. But the kingdom's bad now.
That's how it goes every time. He tries to sell movies to me like that. So it's funny.
Speaking of movies, do you guys watch anything other than Barbenheimer?
We watched half of the TMNT movie. The
one
that we were talking
one?
About?
Oh,
yeah.
The 2010 one.
Dude, there's some people in there.
Oh,
Chris
really?
Evans.
Chris Evans is
Casey Jones.
Casey Jones, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Fucking Lawrence Fishburne is the narrator.
Nice.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart is the bad guy.
Which bad guy?
The guy who's immortal.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's Patrick Stewart.
Sweet.
I'm like, damn, there's fucking hella people in here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we watched half of it. It's pretty good. It's very
dark.
Dull. Like the coloring is like dull.
Well, yeah, because it's in like a period.
It was like, yeah, the animation I think was really kind of tough to nail back then. But it's like pretty good. The actions.
I like the animation because they made them look soft.
Yeah. They look very squishy.
Yeah.
No, not squishy, soft. Like a pastel.
Oh,
like
Yeah, I'd recognize it if I saw it, but yeah.
There's a really funny scene in that movie. Do you remember when like Raphael and Donatello are like fighting on the top of the building? There's a big red sign, like
Leonardo.
A red neon sign. It's
Leonardo.
Like the only thing I remember from the movie.
Leonardo.
Sorry, Raphael. Leonardo, whatever.
What were they doing? Why were they fighting?
So Raphael's been putting on like a big suit of armor and being
a
vigilante.
Night watcher.
He's
a
night watcher.
Yeah. Okay.
And Leonardo
figured out that there's a night watcher.
And so he goes to like hunt him down and then he like knocks off the helmet and he's like, Raphael, and it's very clear that that's like a turtle and like a big
like the Casey whole time it's clearly it.
A turtle in a big metal yeah Casey,
Casey immediately said it. Figured it he's out he's like you're just a big metal turtle.
There's literally a shell on the back, and so he's fighting this his brother. He doesn't recognize the fighting style at all. He talks I think a little bit too,
yeah,
and he kicks off the helmet and he's like Raphael. And it's so funny to me.
Yeah,
but yeah, that movie's solid.
I love that movie.
But that was the only movie I think we watched other than Barbenheimer.
I saw Indiana Jones, the new one.
How's that?
Pretty good. I thought it was really fun.
Really?
Yeah, it's better than the last one.
That's not hard.
Yeah, not hard.
But worth?
Yeah, I wouldn't go to the theater to do it. I saw it for free. So like,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it was like a guest thing or whatever. Mm. But yeah, it was really cool. I thought it was like a little long. It was like 2.5 hours.
Who's the director again? Not Shane Black.
He was the guy from Logan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gold? No.
Chuck?
No. Fucking... Give me the letter.
Okay. J? That's his first name. Last name, M?
James Mangold.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Yeah, he directed... He did pretty good. It had... Mads Mikkelsen was the bad guy.
Oh, okay.
He was pretty cool. And... yeah, there's a couple scenes I would have taken out. And then, like, fucking... What's the dude from... Oh, he's got... Boyd Holbrook, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just... He didn't really need to be in there, but he was in it. And, yeah, it was cool. He was, like, set in, like, the 60s, you know, because those are always, like, set in the past or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah. There was a bit, like, a 20-minute bit in the very beginning where it's like a flashback to like World War II or whatever, and it's like young Indiana Jones.
Yeah, the,
like, and it looked like it looked pretty good. Like, yeah. I was like,
is it distracting?
No, it wasn't distracting at all. I was like,
because I'd be like,
I was focusing on it, and there's like a few parts I'm like, that doesn't look that great.
But were you trying to be like, are you trying to like figure out like where the
I was looking at the flaws? Yeah,
yeah.
But Sarah's like, how did they make him look like that? How did they make him look so young? I'm like,
they've been doing this
CGI. I don't know. But yeah, I was impressed. Some people fucking hated it, but that's just people that are super critical.
As long as
it's
like enough for you to be like, okay,
you would be okay with it, you know.
But like, I also,
they even made him sound younger.
I also understand how old he looks, and so the whole time I'd be like, he doesn't look like this.
Yeah, I know.
So
yeah, it was pretty good. I would say it's not a waste of time.
Nice.
Well, yeah, pretty fun stuff.
You probably haven't watched it yet, but we watched Psalm 100.
I watched it when you told me that you were watching it and then coming over.
Okay, that's why I texted you that we were watching it and then coming over. Episode 3. I think that went up to where
you guys
ended the manga,
off.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that what? Okay, yeah. So he's going to save Kensho.
Kensho.
And
I don't know what those people were that were like in that restaurant or whatever.
Yeah,
I was like, who the fuck are they? Because like,
because you've read into the anime,
yeah,
into the manga.
That's new.
Okay, that's interesting. Know. That's new to you.
Maybe that guy will pop up again.
Yeah, so, yeah. There's like, I don't know. That dude was like famous.
He seems pretty famous. Yeah,
I don't know what he's famous
like a
for.
Singer or something.
Some people are just famous in Japan. You know, they're just famous. They're like Kardashians. You know, they just happen to be famous.
That's fair. That's fair. So maybe it's one of them. But yeah, there's the whole thing where he goes like. Makes amends with his friend Kensho.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time it's so funny that he's just like, oh, I'm coming over, like, where are you at right now, like, tell me where you are. And he's like, what are you talking about, there's all zombie apocalypse, and he just goes.
Yeah,
but he's also very smart because they figured out how to get the zombies away.
Mm-hmm.
To blow them up with the car. So I thought that was interesting. But they did the thing where he jumps from roof to roof naked.
That was a big fucking jump.
It was a huge jump.
I was like, no shot.
Yeah, because I was like,
go to the other building. That looks closer.
There's one right next to it. Yeah. Done.
But that one like, is like the same level, so you'd have to somehow get air. Like,
and take off your clothes?
Yeah, impossible.
Maybe that's why there was such a big gap. They're like, we need to make it so that he takes off his clothes in the middle of it.
I like how they made it like realistic, because he was bloody when he landed. I'm like, yeah, that's definitely going to happen.
I'm like, that's cool.
The roofs aren't soft, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely not.
No, they're full of rocks.
Yeah, I know.
And so it's interesting because he jumps, he takes off his button-up shirt,
mm-hmm,
socks and shoes, and pants and underwear.
Yeah.
In like 20 milliseconds, probably.
So impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then he scrapes his balls.
And then he scrapes his balls, yeah. That was funny.
And I'm like, what do you expect?
Sarah is like baking when I was watching this, and she likes to have like TV on while she does that. But I was like, had this on, and they're like... yelling and like crying because they're apologizing to each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wonder what she thinks I'm watching. and I don't know, but like the Japanese like accent or like language just sounds super whiny.
It is very whiny,
when it comes to that kind of stuff. So I'm like, no, it's a really cool zombie thing, I swear.
Yeah, it's actually great. And then at the end, they're naked drinking beers, like bros.
Yeah.
As bros do.
Yeah, I wonder how long this, how many episodes they're doing.
Yeah, in a season? I don't know. But now everything from here will be super fresh for me. So, or like new. So.
Yeah, it's a little annoying to like watch the stuff that you've seen already. Me, I kind of like to compare, but it's like a little redundant.
Yeah, I'm excited. So I watched the Superman anime.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have yet. I didn't tell you I was watching it, but...
Yeah, I did. I was... For some reason, every time I eat breakfast on Sunday, we always get like Starbucks, you know, like the meals that they have.
Oh, okay, nice.
And I'm like, I want to watch cartoons. Like, I just have that feeling. And it's always been that Superman thing, like, every week so far.
Nice. So, it's so good.
It is very good. This one was like a little meh, because it was just like...
The villain was, I wasn't crazy about, but I like what they...
It was Amazo. You remember him?
Yeah, I know Amazo, but yeah. I was like... It was just he's like a tech billionaire, but I like that they turned him into like that fucked up looking thing after all the tech.
Yeah, it was cool how he stopped him. You know, he's like, oh, I'll just stop fighting you and then you won't get my powers or whatever.
It's a very Superman
thing
to do.
You want to absorb my blasts or whatever.
Yeah.
And then this is the episode where like Lois is like, Clark?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God.
She's like,
She had to get the fucking
paper.
It's
like a picture of him and then a picture of Clark. It's just glasses on.
Like, there's like a red thread between them. Yeah.
But I like how she found out because he like ripped out like a page from like one of those.
Yeah,
like,
that was cool.
What are they called? Magazines?
The newspaper.
It's like, there's like specific ones.
Yeah, like a magazine thing.
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called, but and she was just wearing his jacket, so she found it.
Yeah, I thought that was clever.
But
good show.
Good show.
I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. All right. Barbenheimer?
Yes, sir.
Yes. We saw the titular two movies.
We did.
Shitty dine-in theater that we thought would have been great.
It started out promising, you know.
Sure.
Do you guys eat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you bought food there?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
We both got the bacon ranch burger.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I liked their fries and stuff.
We definitely got to go back to that other place with, like, the brewery in it.
Yeah.
That place, that was fine dining.
In Chandler?
Yeah, that one's cool.
Because
they have like the button and they'll come to you.
Yeah,
you
know? I know. This one was dumb because you had to go order your food out where you normally get concessions.
Oh, the Flix one?
Yeah,
that's in Chandler. Flix,
it's called something else now, I think. But
or like the Alamo, I think they have food too. That'd be cool.
Yeah. But like, that's what I was expecting. Like, we went into the theater and we're like, how do we order food? And we're like, shit, we got to go outside again. So we like...
Yeah, we went into the theater. We walked in and we're like, order from there.
Yeah, no. Yeah. We walked in and we're like, fuck, we got to order outside. So you had to like go to like a kiosk, order your food, and then you have to know what your seat number is. And someone else bought our tickets. So we're like, shit, what theater? What seat are we?
Where are you
like
sitting?
It's like a whole thing. And so we ordered food. Very expensive, but whatever. At least they had Big Blue Van beer there.
That was nice.
Yeah. That made it a little bit better.
Definitely plus.
Anyway, we saw Oppenheimer first because mm-hmm. we're smart.
Yeah.
And we don't want to end with Oppenheimer, a 3-hour movie. But
yeah, I think you get over the hump first and then you have a nice breezy comedy.
Yeah. You gotta go up the hill and then you go down
with
Barbie. But Oppenheimer, pretty good.
Super good.
Not my favorite Chris Nolan movie
far. It was his like top rated one before it came out, like on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, which I'm very confused.
But that
by.
Always goes down, you know.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
I'm sure because those are all like critics numbers, I think. So it kind of like inflates it.
Yeah, I'm sure critics are like, oh my god, he does black and white. How good?
It's like,
it's fine.
Is it top five? I don't know. It's like,
no.
It's kind of hard to even say that.
I like
Tenet
more than this one.
That's true. And then Memento and like...
Memento's a good one.
Inception probably. It was really good though. Like, I liked seeing it, like seeing him do stuff and it was good.
Yeah, I think it's worth seeing.
You see, Barbie did like twice as good in the box office than Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It did like...
Dude, we saw people like Barbie dressed up.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
This is like Black Panther for white women.
This is... this is Harry Potter for like non-nerds.
For normies.
For normies. Yeah, it really is. It's very interesting, some of the Barbie stuff. But yeah, like in Oppenheimer, it's a 3-hour movie, but every scene was like a minute long, if that.
Yeah, it was like 30-second cuts.
There's a lot of time jumps
I bet the studios like keep it like at 3 hours, and it was like exactly 3 hours. Yeah, so he probably only cut to make that.
He probably got that limit.
If he had his way, it'd be like a 4 hour
especially
movie.
Shooting in IMAX, which makes things a lot harder, I guess.
Yeah, that was a big ass fucking reel.
Yeah.
And I'm like glad we didn't see it in IMAX, because I thought there'd be way more explosions and a lot more stuff like that. But it was mostly just people talking.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. why do I have to see it in IMAX?
Yeah, no, I'd rather see like Expendables 4 in IMAX. That seems way cooler.
I want to see Terry Crews.
Sure, or the shotgun. Meg 2, you know?
The Meg 2 in IMAX would be insane.
I'd go fucking nuts. Dude, maybe they have double features in IMAX. Like I saw like The Incredibles and then Incredibles 2. In like a double feature. It's pretty fucking cool.
Interesting.
So the Meg, even better.
What is IMAX?
It's a big screen, and like the seats are like stadium seats. You know how you get into like nosebleeds for a certain shit, and you like,
you're just on bleachers?
Yeah, kind of. No, but it's nice seats.
It's like normal seats.
But like your feet, where your feet are, that's where like next person's like head is. And it's kind of like that ride in like Disneyland where it's like where you fly up or whatever.
Yeah,
It's like cruising or something, or
fly around the world,
float around
or
California for a bit.
California flying
around, soaring over California.
Yeah. It's like that, but like seats.
They lift you up?
No.
Oh.
That'd be crazy.
They have that like
huge, you have like fucking seatbelts.
They're like blowing wind in your face.
You drop your fucking popcorn.
Imagine the bomb goes off and they like shoot a heater at your face.
It like shakes your shit.
That's how I'd like to see this movie.
But no, it's like a cool experience. And like, you know how like you watch it and you can see like the edge of the screen? You can't really do that unless you look like straight up kind of thing. It's like a big fucking
monitor. So it's like monitor. Super big screen.
Interesting. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think everyone should do it like at least once.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was fun seeing like all the actors and be like, oh, good for them. They got a Nolan movie, you know?
Yeah, good for Josh Peck.
Good for RDJ, you know? I mean, he's doing pretty well. But yeah, Josh Peck, good for him. Alden Ehrenreich, who's just in Cocaine Bear, goes from Cocaine Bear to a Chris Nolan movie.
Dane DeHaan, I thought he was done with acting because I just haven't seen him in anything.
Yeah, that's his name. I was trying to remember.
Yeah, I remember him because I don't like him, you know?
You don't like him as an actor?
No.
Is it because he's good at acting and always acts like a douchebag?
No. I just don't like him because I don't like some of the movies he's in.
Okay.
You remember that movie Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets? He was in that. That movie sucked.
He was in that one superhero movie that I tried to... I was like so confident that you knew the name of.
I know it now.
Remember
Chronicle.
This? Chronicle.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah,
that's his
only.
There's a really funny video of Daniel, and I'm like, Daniel, what's the superhero movie with Michael B. Jordan, but not Fantastic Four? And he's like,
Yeah, I feel so bad.
I think about that so bad.
I think about that a lot because of how much you hype me up.
I was like, this guy, fuck, he's basically IMDb. This guy over here. That's what I said.
An IMDb bitch. But and then he was in like Amazing Spider-Man 2 and he wasn't very good in that, you know. Yeah. So it's just like things that leave a bad taste.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So lots of people.
Jack Quaid, good for him.
There was like the non-linear storytelling, which is like cool and all, but got like a little confusing because they were so close together.
Yeah, at one point it was just like the present, which was the black and white, the court stuff, and then like leading up to that point, and I was like, okay, I can fuck with this.
Yeah.
And then at another point, it was like a couple different eras, and so it was kind of tough, especially when the scenes go so fast.
Right.
And then you can't really hear some of the stuff that they say.
Yeah, the next Chris Nolan movie, 100% I'm getting subtitles or like the closed captioning box.
Yeah, it's been like this like two movies in a row.
Yeah, Tenet was super hard to hear what they're saying.
I just like looked at that movie, you know? I didn't need to understand what was happening.
Even if you had subtitles, you wouldn't know. Like that's a movie you look at.
Yeah,
you just see inaudible on the bottom.
Especially that like interrogation that was going on with Emily Blunt, where the music was fucking blaring.
It was so loud,
and then that one dude was like, ah, and like, but you still couldn't fucking hear him.
You couldn't. And I'm like, I think this guy's making some fire points. I need to be the
fucking
know.
Sound mixer for that dude, because I'm like, dude, I can't hear him.
I
know.
Yeah, someone needs to like. He needs to have less yes men, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You need to be... So...
I'm going
to
say no on this.
Yeah. Like, absolutely next Chris Nolan movie subtitles is for sure.
I like how they have, like, screenings with, like, the subtitles.
I need to find, like, one of those.
I should just do that for all movies, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm cool with the closed captioning box thing.
Because we, like, if they strictly watch with subtitles, I know, you know, at home.
I felt like an ADHD, like, dumb bitch, like, the whole time this movie. Because I was trying to, like...
Because if you miss something, the words are still there for a second. Yeah. So you kind of catch it still.
Also, there's people with like accents, you know, because there's people from like Russia and from Germany.
Albert Einstein, I didn't even hear him. Yeah. I don't know what he said.
I don't even know if he spoke English.
I don't even know if he helped.
Is he a good guy, you know, do we like him?
Yeah,
it was funny seeing him because it's like seeing like a cameo, like yeah. Like, oh my god, it's Captain America, but it's like, oh my god, it's Einstein, like look at him.
Yeah, he's like the Stan Lee of Oppenheimer.
He really is. But I don't know, it was good. The explosion, really cool.
Yeah,
I was telling you, like,
very visual.
When the explosion happens, there's like a really, like, technically really good build up to it, because it's like the score by Ludwig Göransson, really good, like leading up to that point. There's like tons of fast cuts and there's a timer and all that shit. And so you're like, oh my God, is it going to work? As if it like, as if there's a chance that it won't work.
Changes history.
Yeah. Yeah. As if I don't know what is going to happen, but it still made me feel like really nervous. And it was cool seeing like the bright white light and people's reactions and stuff. So it was cool.
That part was like a horror movie. There's like jump scares. I know. Shit.
Yeah.
It scared me. I had so much anxiety. I'm like, oh, poor Sophia.
And this, yeah, dude, for real. I was covering my ears. I'm like, I'm just gonna go
away. She started to develop like a sixth sense during the movie because there'd be like the stomping bits or whatever. That was sometimes dope. That would be like, there'd be like a boom right after it. So I would see Sophie as soon as there's like stomping, she'd like plug your ears and shit. It was really because you hate jump scares.
Like, have you seen this already? Like,
no, it's just I hate the sound.
It was really fascinating because she got conditioned to like know when a boom was coming, and she was right almost every time.
Yeah,
that's funny.
It was awesome.
There was only one time where I didn't know a boom was coming, yeah. And I jumped and screamed.
Yeah,
right.
But the actual boom from the actual bomb, like, came at them like a full like 2 minutes later.
Yeah, because, you know, it was, well, like 20 miles away.
I know, yeah. Right? It's super far away, and so I'm like, I know it's
the
coming.
Speed of that still light seems too close. Is like faster than the speed of sound as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'd see it before.
Mm-hmm.
Good movie, though. Was Oppenheimer in that comic, The Manhattan Projects? Do you remember?
I know Albert was.
Didn't you read it?
Yeah.
You don't remember?
I read the first issue, and I was like, ooh, this is not for me.
Yeah, this is like a Chris Nolan movie.
It really is. I don't understand what the fuck is going on. I just knew that there's Albert Einstein. Like, literally, the same experience.
What's that writer's name?
Jonathan Hickman.
Jonathan Hickman's like the Christopher Nolan of comics.
Dude, he kind of is.
Dang.
That's actually, yeah, because he's got the crazy sci-fi concepts like Tenet or Interstellar.
Very dense.
Like, fuck me if I know what's going on, but it looks cool.
It's a 3-hour long comic.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
It was good. I probably won't watch it again.
I could see myself watching it again. You fell asleep.
I did. Yeah, by accident. When they're talking, dude, and I can't hear what they're saying, I'm just like zoning out.
Yeah.
You just forget it.
Oh. Yeah, like I'm not going to even try anymore.
Yeah. I think I understood 70% of the movie, and I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'd say like a solid 90.
You understood all the theory.
Oh, I don't know like science, but I knew what they're talking
about. That's what I'm saying. You know?
I could fill in the gaps of what they're talking about. Be like, but like,
I could, I could hear what they were saying like 95% of the time.
I understood what he wanted me to understand.
You know what exactly. I
mean? 90% of that.
Yeah. I think what he wanted me to understand, I understood like 70%.
If we're talking science too, maybe 75%.
Yeah. Especially in the courtroom where, you know, there's points where he wants to infer that they're accusing him for being like a Soviet or like a communist person.
I'm
like, okay, I can understand this. But then someone else would come into that courtroom and say something, and I'm like, I don't know what this means. how did things just change right now?
Yeah, that story was so dependent on you remembering people's names.
Yeah.
Because they talk about people and stuff.
About like
and there's Berkman like 50 people in this, yeah. You know? And so it was pretty tough.
But
that was the only thing I was doing, you know, just watching the movie.
And we saw Cillian Murphy's balls. So yeah. Pretty good.
So 10 out of 10. Therefore.
Thank God. Barbie?
Barbie.
Anything else to say about Oppenheimer?
No.
Yeah. Good. Okay, pretty good. Yeah, Barbie. The real movie.
Probably a better movie.
Yeah. I liked it more.
Yeah. Yeah. I had more fun. It was just a better experience, I felt like. This year was hilarious. It was way better than I thought it would be.
It was really good.
It was really funny.
I didn't really know like what to expect. Like I saw like one trailer and I was like, okay, they're gonna do Barbie but like with a twist.
I was like, this is gonna be meta as fuck, you know.
It was awesome.
I didn't expect them to go to the real world. I thought it'd just be in Barbie land.
Yeah,
which I was kind of wanting it to be, I guess, but you know, it makes sense.
There's like a very small part of it in the real world, I feel like.
Yeah, like it's not like too much.
Yeah, it's not like It's not like Enchanted, where it's like you get like first 15 minutes in Disney world or whatever, and then you go into the real world. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really... I liked how they committed to everyone just being Barbie and Ken. Even in the cast list, it's just like Barbie. So I thought that was good.
Yeah, even the, like they showed like dolls in the credits, like the different types of Barbies, and those had names.
Yeah, those were like for real names. Yeah, so they could have done that if they wanted to.
Yeah, but no, it's just it's a little bit funnier for just everyone to be Barbie.
Yeah, I like that there's one Alan.
Yeah,
Michael Cera.
Michael Cera, that was so... that made me so happy that he's in this.
That dude's just funny. Even when he's doing nothing.
He just existed in that movie, and everyone thought it was hilarious.
It is hilarious. He's great. Yeah. Obviously, Margot Robbie, pretty good as Barbie.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine it being anybody else. Same thing with Ken.
Yeah.
Like, the main Ken as Ryan Gosling. I think he did pretty good.
Yeah. I didn't realize that the bad guy from Secret Invasion was in this. Like,
yeah, Gravik was in it.
Yeah.
I figured that out, 10 minutes before the movie ended. I was like, holy shit, a squirrel's in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, super funny. And I like how they have, the weird Barbie, who's, the one with, the splits.
Oh, yeah.
Because, if you own a Barbie, you're putting it back in the toy box with, full splits, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny that they added that.
But, play, Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
Dude, Sarah went to go to the bathroom at, the worst time. The part where she, wakes up and is depressed and then goes to the weird Barbie or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And then she starts to go to the real world.
So she comes back and she's in the real world.
I was like, fuck. I'm like,
how do I explain this?
I think I did a pretty good job.
You're inconvenienced by her relieving herself, which is crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, god damn it, she's gonna miss things.
I'm like, they took a spaceship and then a train and then a jet ski.
And now they're back, they can do that backwards.
And now they're roller skating. Yeah.
Did you guys hear that they actually out of stocked most of the paint, the pink paint to produce the set, around the whole United States, the produce for pink paint.
Whoa.
They out of stocked it, almost out of stocked it.
That's crazy.
That is wild.
Because of how much they had to paint the set itself.
Yeah, it was
really cool set.
There's parts where it's clear it's CGI, but most of the set seemed and felt pretty big.
Yeah, super practical.
That cul-de-sac, I think, was like all built.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
And people can stand on it.
Yeah. People could it's a full ass building to go to third floor, you know.
What did you think was CGI?
Well, there's
other than the sparkles.
Oh yeah. The sparkles. I mean, it's clear when it is CGI. Cause when they're not in space, Daniel, I don't know if you figured that out, but
what?
But yeah, when they're going to space or flipping the car or whatever, they probably had a real working ass car. It looked like, at least.
Yeah. Dude, they had one of those in one of the Harkins theaters here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can get in it. Yeah.
We could have gone in the Barbie car.
Yeah, dude. Aww. The Barbie-mobile or whatever.
The Carby.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, very funny. I like how they go to the real world and Ken gets really excited about the patriarchy.
Yeah.
I didn't know the definition of patriarchy until I saw this movie.
I thought patriarchy was a more vague word, and a lot of people refer to like gender patriarchy. I don't know if that's the case, but they seem to define it as men are the main force. I don't know.
Yeah. He's like, men rule the world.
And horses. He loved horses. It's so funny. Yeah. It was, I liked the real world stuff. And she went to the kid who she thought was her Barbie.
And then the kid just shut her down.
Yeah.
Made her cry.
I like that scene with the old lady. And
Barbie's
you're beautiful, and she's like, don't I know it? Yeah. And I was like, hell yeah.
I thought she's trying to find her owner or whatever, and so she's trying to find this girl. And when the mom sees her in real life, I was like, oh, maybe it was her Barbie and she passed it down to the teenager or whatever. But that wasn't the case. She just took her kid's Barbie when she was gonna throw it out.
And she just played it with it by herself, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just liked playing with it.
I feel like it would have been better that way, maybe, if it was a passed down Barbie.
Yeah, I guess this works too. She's a bored mom or whatever.
Yeah. I wonder how something like this gets made.
Licensing first, you know.
But is Mattel fuck yeah? And how
they're oh thank God.
How probably. Involved are they? How do they get Greta Gerwig, you know, and Margot Robbie? I guess they would be pretty hands off of that. But what involvement do they have? Because they kind of shit on the CEO a little bit.
Yeah.
So but not like too much to make him like a bad guy necessarily.
I think they're just trying to be like open about things that happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think it starts with like, I imagine just like the movie company, and then they'd get the rights from Mattel, and then everyone's involved, and then it just kind of...
It seems like a miracle that this isn't like shitty, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, this had a ton of potential to be just like super cheesy, like just things nothing. Landing like in
like some of the corny jokes are funny because they're corny, but there's a world where they're making like the corny jokes and it's like super cringe, you know?
Yeah.
But like everything I feel like mostly landed as far as like jokes in here.
I think it's because like everyone was like 100% in on this.
Yeah, everyone's kind of the fact that it became a meme I think is very helpful as well. Like if there wasn't like a bunch of Barbenheimer memes and stuff like that.
Because the idea is ridiculous.
It is.
Yeah.
I like how in the Barbie lands, like, they're, like, drinking stuff, and there's no liquids. That was good,
and
too.
And then she drinks the tea, and it, like, spills all over
her. She, like, doesn't know how to drink, which is hilarious. And, like...
Did you know that you can buy, like, the I Am Kenuff, like, hoodies?
Oh, you was talking about that earlier. I saw TikTok
today.
Yeah, you can buy them. I'm like... It's pretty cool hoodie.
It is a good hoodie. I like that a lot. I like that Ryan Gosling's like doing pull-ups randomly. Like when he's talking.
Just did one.
He was fucking shredded for this.
It's insane, right?
Dude.
I was like, is this guy like 40? Like maybe even older.
I think 45 max.
Probably 46.
I say 42.
Okay. But we all agree 40s? 40s,
yeah. For sure.
Oh, I just put Ryan Gosling. Hold on.
Did it say the age there?
42.
Whoa. Whoa. You got it.
Yeah.
Like, that's tough.
I was like, is this like some kind of special effects or is it like makeup or something? Sure, but his pecs were like moving and shit.
I'm sure there's like contour like on his like abs because like the lighting wasn't always perfect for that.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, he was in like even great shape for
it
that.
It is insane.
Yeah, everyone was in great shape for this.
Yeah, obviously. And then there's like a scene where the mom is like talking about like being a woman and like the struggles of that and everything. And it's like this big monologue that's really good. And I feel like they probably hit it on the head. I don't know. Sophie would know more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you think they did well?
It hit the nail pretty hard.
Okay.
Because when she was doing it, I was like, damn, she's like spitting right now.
Yeah.
And like in our theater, like there's someone that like started like a clap and like it was a big like clap thing, which is probably deserved. But did you hear that one person in our theater that was like, after the big monologue, she's like, like a moan of like confirmation.
Yeah.
And then everybody started clapping and I was like, that's funny.
Yeah. Like it just like was like this big cheering section kind of thing. It just got, kind of kept going.
Yeah. Cause she
was just fine.
She like nailed it. Yeah. I could never be that articulate
and that
about anything.
I cheered.
It was funny that like this, like the feminism was like the thing that like broke them out of that little spell or whatever they're under. I was like, this is fun.
Yeah. I like how they like had to get the Kens after they took over Barbie Land to like mansplain stuff so that they can take them. And she's like, oh, I don't know how to do this in Photoshop.
That one got me. I was like, oh, this feels personal.
It's like, well, I've never seen The Godfather. Please tell me about it while the movie's going.
Can we restart from the beginning?
That shit is so funny. Yeah. Really good.
And he like took over like the Barbie dream house and it's like the Ken's Mojo Dojo like
Mojo Casa Dojo house. Casa House. Yeah. So good. Yeah. He's good at playing just like a dumb just like
Ken
lughead dude. Yeah.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Nailed it.
Did nail it. And ending. She like meets Barbie's original inventor, which was very nice. It got very like profound. At the end there about like what it means to like be human or like be normal or whatever.
Yeah, people were saying like that it was a real tearjerker for some people. Maybe it hits a little bit more for moms or something.
Yeah, probably.
It was for Ben. Ben said he almost cried.
Dang.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was like really strong and well communicated like message and theme here.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed by that. And it's such a big concept, like just feminism and patriarchy and stuff like that, like a lot of really big concepts, but
it's like current concepts too,
and they took it just not seriously enough, you know?
Yeah,
I think they really nailed that balance of like being corny but also commenting on very real problems.
Yeah, they like they know what this is.
They, yeah, 100%.
So they're like,
and I like the research into like discontinued Barbies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that was really fun. Because it's like
it took me back.
A pregnant Barbie.
A little nostalgia.
The fucking Barbie where like the boobs grow.
Yeah! Insane. Right?
I'm like, are you serious?
And they're like, this is real.
Yeah.
Sugar's they had daddy, that, dude. Ken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts.
It's funny that Mattel was also like, yeah, that was a bad idea. You should shit on it, you know?
Yeah. This one made like twice as much as like what Oppenheimer made.
Yeah.
Which it sucks because I'm not looking forward to like all of the toy movies that are going to be made after this.
Yeah. People, I think corporations are not going to take the right message out of this. Yeah. Of like why it works.
They're
like,
oh, toys mean money.
Yeah. Know? They're going to make fucking like a Bionicle movie or something.
They already have those.
Yeah, that's true. But well, I mean, like, they had Barbie movies. Sophie was telling me about all the Barbie animated movies she used to watch.
Oh, yeah. They had those. Yeah.
What was your favorite one?
Well, it was my sister's and I. It was the Princess and the Pauper.
Okay.
Barbie movie.
Sounds familiar.
It's like about the sisters, but they didn't know they were sisters. But one lived in a castle and one was like a seamstress.
Hmm.
Or worked as a seamstress.
Yeah. But, yeah, I feel like there will be movies that try and be this and they will fail.
Like there's like a Hot Wheels one that they're trying to make.
That could be cool.
It's just another fucking racing movie.
It could be cool though. But then they're going to be on a big fucking loop-de-loop. I'm excited for that one.
Loop-de-loop.
I don't know. I feel like
it could be bad, could be good. I don't know. They have a really good Hot Wheels video game. So that's why I believe in that concept.
Did you guys hear about the amusement park they're building? Mattel Amusement Park?
Barbie Land? In Arizona?
Mattel one? Mattel, yeah.
That's crazy.
They're doing Hot Wheels, Barbie World, Thomas the Toy Train. Like, all Mattel.
Finally.
Like, yeah. Thank goodness.
Thomas like, Tank Engine or whatever.
Thomas, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is there going to be a Thomas Pass?
Or Thomas Fast Pass. Yeah, ooh. But they're building it here in Arizona.
I feel like an amusement park in Arizona is a really bad idea. Because shit's going to break down all the time and no one's going to want to go in the summer.
It's going to be hot as titties.
Yeah.
Hot as titties.
Like nothing should be here. You know what
that's
I mean?
What I, yeah.
That's what
I'm thinking. I want to leave.
Unless it's big air conditioned dome or something. That I'm okay with that.
Okay, but, yeah, that could work.
Unless also they just open like twice a year or something. Not twice a year, but like.
They would have to shut down like during heat waves, surely.
Yeah. Which is all the time.
Yeah, which is like 8 months out of the year.
So. Like the fact that Castles and Coasters is still there is insane to me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But they're on their last legs.
Yeah.
It's like ghetto land.
Did we watch or do anything else?
Did you watch the Adam Eve episode?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty good.
Someone said it's tough for someone other than Omni-Man to be the worst dad in the Invincible universe. And I thought that was funny.
Yeah. I mean, her parents are pretty shitty.
Yeah.
But yeah, watch that. I finished Sopranos last night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good job. We're like halfway through Full Metal Alchemists.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brotherhood.
Yeah, Sopranos was okay. It was a super dumb ending. And I don't know. The whole series was like a little overhyped. Like, it was good, but it's just like,
I think
people like love that shit.
I think it was the first like series where you're rooting for the bad guy. Like, was
sure.
One of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Me and Sophie played a game called Exoprimal.
Okay.
And it's a 5-person cooperative game.
Wow.
Where you're in like a mech suit type thing or like a cyber suit type thing. And you are racing another group of 5 players to kill like waves of dinosaurs.
Sick.
Yeah.
And the dinosaurs spawn in through these like portals. And like that's how like the horde comes through. And but the portals are like in the air. So dinosaurs just fall out of this thing. And they like hit the ground like on their back and shit. And you're just shooting a bunch of dinosaurs like that. And then there's like.
So is it like teams of 5 people that are shooting in this thing?
It's
or are
like
you all in one mech?
Teams of 5 people in their own individual mech things. There's like healers, support, you know.
Can assault. You do like Power Rangers where you like.
That would be fucking cool.
That'd be sick. Imagine. I thought that's where you're going with that.
No, that would
like
be.
Like one person's like the left arm, oh one person's my the right
God.
Leg.
Imagine you Power Rangers it.
Or what are they.
Oh,
what,
the game's bad now. I don't, we shouldn't be able to do that.
What is it when like all the Transformers get together? A combiner bot or something?
That sounds right.
It was super dumb. But.
Yeah, and so basically you're just trying to go through like the hordes of dinosaurs faster than other people. And like there's like boss rounds where there's like a Triceratops or like a T-Rex they have to get.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, if you're like ahead or if you're behind the other team, you can spawn as like a T-Rex on their like progress.
Yeah.
And just fuck everything up.
That's cool.
So it's actually kind of creative. I've definitely never seen a game like this, but it's interesting. And then you like level up your powers and stuff.
But. Yeah. It's supposed to be like a campaign too. So like you just go through a storyline on the way while you're doing the games.
Hmm. That part I could not give less of a shit about.
Yeah.
Because you have to play multiplayer to progress the campaign, which is weird.
Yeah.
Cause, so when you win, then you can get like another cutscene of like the story. But I don't really care about that. So it just seems awkward.
Interesting. And is that just some free Game Pass thing?
Yeah, it's on Game Pass. Normally it's $60, so it's cool that we got it on Game Pass.
Sweet.
And then I played some Jedi Survivor. I haven't talked about it yet.
Ooh.
Very good game.
Yeah. What planet are you on?
I'm still on the first planet. But there's a lot to do on that planet. I played it for like 5 hours.
5 hours on the first planet?
I did a lot of the side missions. So I fought the Rancor. Did you fight him?
Ooh, no.
Are you serious?
Fuck that. Dude, no.
I died like 100 times. Probably. I should have had like a counter.
I saw it once. I'm like, no, thank you.
You get a cool thing after it.
What? Was it worth it?
It's like a perk.
A perk? Oh.
You get perks. Remember the perks?
Kind of. What was the perk? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
Oh. did it change the game for you?
As soon as I saw the Rancor, I was like, fuck, I have to beat him.
No.
I'm not a gamer if I don't beat him, Daniel.
I don't care about that.
It was practice for Ogdo Bogdo, the frog.
If you can beat the Rancor, you can beat the Ogdo Bogdo pretty easy.
Okay. But I just love how the game feels. And I love Grease. He's like one of the best characters. The Danny DeVito of Star Wars.
If you met Grease, you're on the second planet. On Jeddah?
Oh, I'm sorry. The first planet that you go to.
Okay.
Is what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a big fucking map. I get lost in that shit.
I do too.
And there is a map you can look at, and I'm like, I don't know.
It tells
where
you
I
where to go, and I still don't know where to go.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know where I've like explored and whatnot. And then, like, if you see something and then you die,
like, you have to go find that person.
I don't know
how
to get back to that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like the most annoying planet for me.
Yeah, the checkpoints are very few and far between because you have to go to the things.
Did you get to that, like, dinosaur thing? Like, you got him to do something?
No.
Okay. You'll know when you see it. It's like this.
I like how there's High Republic stuff, though.
Yeah. I was so surprised by that.
Yeah, like, me too.
I hardly know High Republic stuff, but, like, the fact that, like, you see there. That droid, and, like, oh, that's High Republic as fuck.
Yeah,
you know?
It was
like,
cool.
The design.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's that, fun. That dude that you... Did you fight that dude?
Yeah. The dude outside the bar.
Never mind.
Okay.
There's like you see a High Republic lightsaber.
Oh, cool.
And it's very fucking cool.
I like the lightsaber customization a lot more in this.
It's like
more colors.
It's a little bit too much for me, and there's like a lot of parts I just don't really care about. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's fair, yeah.
But
it's good. I like how bassy the action is.
Bassy.
I like how it sounds when you use your lightsaber and you fight people with it. It sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I have to say about that, but I've just been playing that.
Cool.
And I think that's it.
That is the show. Yeah. What are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
I don't know.
Good.
Do we know? Do you know?
Yeah, we're going to read American Jesus.
Okay.
Come on.
How long is that?
Short.
Okay. I'm all in there.
I think it's like 100 pages, honestly.
Ooh, let's go.
Let me double check.
Does the Netflix show come out already?
Yeah.
Next week?
It will come out on August 16th. So that episode will come out on the 11th.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, cool.
So, yeah.
American Jesus. One of Mark Miller's.
American Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you, Sophie, for coming on.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, no,
it's good to be back.
Whenever you want.
Thanks for teaching us about the turtles.
Oh, 99 pages, dude. Not even 100 pages.
Oh, let's go.
You shitting me?
Double digits.
I could do that in an evening.
The Berserker episode that you're on is like one of our best like episodes, like as far as numbers wise. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
People love Sophie.
People love Sophie. She's back.
And I love Sophie. Get away from her. She's mine.
And I love you, random citizen.
I love Megamind.
All right. And you can send us suggestions at traverspod@gmail.com. You can check out the links, like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that.
Give us suggestions for books if you'd like. We'll get to it eventually.
Give us a big old 5 stars on podcast platforms.
Give us 5 stars if you like Sophie.
Yeah.
If you don't like her, give us also 5 stars. Just give us 5 stars, please.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.